All right, if you would this morning, turn with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. And I'm going to address a subject that, interestingly enough, I've been asked about by three different people in the last couple of weeks. Two people in person and one person by email. And so I thought, well, if there's that much interest in these verses and much confusion about them, maybe it's something we ought to address and have a message on. And I guess if I was really honest, I would have to say this is an easy way of answering an email rather than having to do all that writing. So anyway, Acts chapter 26. And the question that arises is about something that Paul says here in relation to that which he is preaching. The week after our Bible conference, I talked to you about Paul's Acts ministry. And I mentioned to you then that there are some of the brethren that preach that Paul, in Acts chapter 9, when Paul was saved, that the church, the body of Christ, started there. But that the dispensation of grace was not started until later, around Acts 28. There's also some that teach, or what are called Acts 28 believers, and they teach that Paul did not preach the gospel of the grace of God during the book of Acts. And that Paul's ministry during the book of Acts was to Israel and to those that were in the covenants of promise, and that sort of thing. The idea for that comes, most of it comes from the verses that I'm going to read here in Acts chapter 26. Let's read those and then I'll comment further. Acts chapter 26 is a Paul is given an account of his salvation before King Agrippa. And in verse 19, after telling about the vision he saw and so forth, the light, he says there in verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should turn to God and do works meet for repentance." Now that verse right there is what hangs people up. Because we teach, of course, that salvation is by grace through faith apart from works. For by grace you say through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And usually we compare that with Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. So sometimes people get the idea that grace believers don't believe in repentance. And that is true to the extent that I do not believe repentance is what the religious world says repentance is. And the study today is not on repentance, even though we'll mention several things about that. But in religion today, repentance is taught as though, or they say, what repentance is turning from sin. Well, we know right off the bat that won't work because the Old Testament mentions many times about God repented. And God never sinned, so God didn't turn from sin. Repentance, the Bible definition of repentance, by comparing Scripture with Scripture, is a change of mind. Having a change of mind. Now that change of mind might result in a turn, but the turn within itself is not the repentance. The repentance is something that takes place in your mind, and it has to do with changing your mind. As a matter of fact, that is pretty apparent in verse 20. Notice what he says. He said, "But showed first of them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God." You see, there's two events there. There's two separate things. There's the repentance and there's the turning to God. If the repentance was the turning, there wouldn't be any need to mention both of them. So he says that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So the idea that people get is that Paul is preaching works for salvation. Well, I want to show you this morning, I want to address those three things in the verse. The repentance, the turning to God, and doing works meet for repentance. The word meet simply means that which is worthy or suitable in this particular instance. Now, I want you to go back to Acts chapter 20. Well, I'll tell you, before we leave there, let's look in verse 21. He said, "For these causes The Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, notice now, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So verse 20 and verse 22 cause problems with people. Number one, verse 20, they say Paul is teaching repentance, turning to God, works. In verse 22, he said that he's preaching none other things than those which Moses the prophets did, and yet we know that Paul said that he was given the mystery and preached the mystery. So what's the answer to this? Well, I believe the answer is, as always, in the Scriptures. And it's not in what I think about the Scriptures, but it's in what saith the Scriptures. And that's what's important. Go back, if you will, to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And notice in Acts chapter 20, in verse 20. Well, let's start up in verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Notice, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Another example where Paul is preaching repentance. Now, go back, if you will, to Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, I believe that the real answer is in Acts chapter 17, which, by the way, comes before Acts 20 and 26. And so, as always, when we study the Bible, as 1 Corinthians 2 tells us, we compare spiritual things with spiritual. We compare Scripture with Scripture, and that's how we get the answer to the questions that arise. You see, if a person read Acts chapter 17, in other words, the email I got this week was from someone who had been confronted after talking about salvation by grace and Paul's distinctive ministry. They were confronted with Acts chapter 26, but it is simply lifted out of context and says, here's where Paul says, you got to repent and do works. But notice in Acts chapter 17, and we're not going to read all this, but look in verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. So the city of Athens is an idolatrous city. Look down in verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. In other words, evidently, the Athenians were so worried that they would offend a God by not building a statue to him, they built one to the unknown God, just in case they'd forgot one. And he says, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. So these people were worshiping, but they were ignorantly worshiping. Notice verse 24. God that made the world, and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Now this is something that was different. This is something that you would need to understand that when Paul is proclaiming this, this goes against the very grain of the Athenians. He said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets having said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think. Now notice the emphasis there on thinking. He said, as the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art's man, by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, I want you to consider two or three things here. These people are worshiping idols. They've erected one to the unknown God. And Paul said, you do ignorantly worship these idols. He said, but I declare unto you that God is not a man that needs things made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeth he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And when he gets down there in verse 29, he says, far as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that God, that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver and so forth. So the problem that Paul is addressing starts with what these people think of God. As a matter of fact, hold on here and go back to Matthew 3. And I just want to do this to show you how that the idea of repentance is tied to that which you think, that which takes place in your mind. In Matthew chapter 3, in verse 2, John the Baptist is preaching and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Notice now, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. In other words, John was preaching to a bunch of people that thought that because they were the seed of Abraham, they automatically had entrance into the coming kingdom. John said, don't think that. Think not that. Paul, in Acts chapter 17, says, inasmuch as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto silver or gold or stone, graven by art and man's device. Change your thinking. Now, when you go back over to the book of Acts, go back over there and notice what Paul says. He hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. So what was the situation? They were idol worshippers. His desire was that they would have a change of mind. They would repent and turn to God. And remember he said in Acts 26, and do works meet for repentance. What would the works be that were worthy of their repentance? It would be coming out from among the idolatry system and accepting that which Paul was preaching. Remember Paul told the Corinthians, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not what? The unclean thing. What Paul's desire was, if these people would repent, have a change of mind about who God is, that he's not worshipped with things made with hands, and come out from that and trust Jesus Christ. Now, notice what he says over in 1 Thessalonians, an indication of this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and by the way, 1 Thessalonians, even though it's not first in the canon of scriptures in Paul's epistles, it is more than likely the first epistle Paul ever wrote during the book of Acts. And notice what he says there in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 1:8, far from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us, what manner of entering in we had unto you, notice, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Well, what did Paul say? He said, repent and turn to God. And do works meet for repentance? The turning to God, the putting away of the idols, the putting away of the idolatrous system, all of those things would fall into that category. So when Paul says that in the book of Acts, that he's preaching that men should repent, turn to God, and do works meet for repentance, he's not saying that the works there are works that you are unto salvation. He's saying the works which show forth the fact that you have understood that these idols, that these things that are made with men's hands, can't get you to God. Now, to further clarify this, I think it's important that we understand where people are coming from when they get the idea that in the book of Acts, Paul is preaching the gospel of the kingdom rather than the gospel of the grace of God. We understand that in Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, I want you to be aware of these verses, because these are verses that people will generally go to try to show you that Paul is preaching the same gospel that Peter, James, and John are preaching. And that is true to a certain extent. They are both, all are preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Never forget that. They are all preaching that. That is the foundational truth for any gospel, whether it be the gospel of the kingdom or the gospel of the grace of God. Christ died, was buried, and raised again. Notice back in Acts chapter 13. In Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There is no doubt that in the early part of Paul's ministry, when Paul would go into a city, he would go into the synagogue and preach to the Jew first. There is no indication that there was ever a mass acceptance of that which Paul preached by the Jews. On the contrary, generally, when he preaches there in the synagogue, he is immediately put out of the synagogue and goes and preaches to other people. In Acts chapter 13, in verse 13, it says, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. And when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Syria, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Now notice what he says over in verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Look down in verse 30, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, or verse 29. When they had fulfilled all that was written of him, talking about Jesus Christ, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Paul is preaching the fact that Jesus Christ is the one he said he was. He's proven to be the Messiah of the Old Testament prophecies by the resurrection from the dead. Verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, go, if you will, over to Acts 17. So we see that Paul goes into the synagogue, and what he establishes with those Jews and those that fear God is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. We see that in Acts 17. In Acts chapter 17, notice there in verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, notice, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging, notice, that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And most of you know what happened right after that. Verse 4, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. The rejection again. Notice over in Acts chapter 18. In Acts 18, verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath day, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. Now notice over in Acts 22, this idea of Paul going to the Gentiles was extremely offensive to the Jews because they believed that they were God's chosen people and that the message of salvation for the entire earth would always come through them. And so you have Paul preaching over in Acts chapter 22, and he says there in verse 18, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought unto the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. Look over in chapter 23. In Acts chapter 23. Verse 5. Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of the people, thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Why was Paul called in question? Why was Paul arrested? Because of preaching the resurrection. He was preaching the resurrection. And that was offensive to those Jews who had killed the Lord Jesus Christ and started the rumor that his disciples had stolen him to try to disprove the resurrection. And so listen, folks, when you read the book of Acts, you're going to see that the emphasis, both by Peter in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, is the resurrection from the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes into synagogue and he preaches the resurrection from the dead as proof that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the one he said he was. And he said, the reason I've been called into question is because of preaching the resurrection of the dead. And he says that because of these Pharisees that he knows believe in the resurrection. And he's saying, in effect, I'm preaching nothing else, no other thing than what was taught back there in the Old Testament. Look in chapter 24, in Acts 24. Verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there should be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. He said, the very people that are condemning me agree that there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And that's what I'm preaching. The difference was, Paul was preaching that as a proof that Christ had been raised from the dead. They believed in a resurrection, but they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They didn't believe He had been raised from the dead. Look in chapter 26, where we were a moment ago. You know, I don't see, to me, these things just are so simple that they ought to just jump out at people. If you read the whole thing without taking them out of context. Acts 26, for example. Verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God and day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Well, look over in chapter 28. Acts 28. Every Acts 28 person, every person that believes the church started after Acts 28 or the dispensation of grace started, they always go to this verse right here, which is absolutely clear after reading all the verses I just read what Paul is talking about. And yet they'll say, well, let me read the verse first. Paul says in Acts 28:20, for this cause therefore have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I'm bound with this chain. They say, see, Paul's ministry there was to the nation Israel. Says so right there. Never did say that. He said, the reason I'm in this chain is because of what I was preaching as regarding the hope of Israel. What was he preaching? Resurrection. What has always been the hope of Israel? Resurrection. Job said, even though the worms destroy my flesh, I know that in my flesh I shall see God. Then what had to happen for that to take place? Job had to have a physical resurrection from the dead, and that's what the hope of Israel was. They said they were sleeping with their fathers until that day when God was going to raise them up. And that's what Paul's preaching. And all Paul is saying is that the reason I'm in prison is for preaching the resurrection. Paul wasn't in prison for preaching Christ died for our sins and buried and rose again the third day. He was in prison for preaching the resurrection. As a matter of fact, most of the time when Paul went into the synagogue and was booted out immediately, he wouldn't have had time to get into the fact that Christ died for our sins, because they didn't even believe he had been raised from the dead. So when Paul says, when he makes those statements like teaching none of the things, look back there in Acts 26 again. Remember who he's standing before. Remember what he's accused of. Paul's not saying that I never preached anything else. He's saying that I didn't say anything to get me arrested other than what the prophet said. That's what he says. Remember, he's standing before King Agrippa pleading for his defense. And he said, verse 21, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Why? Because he said, salvation is sent to the Gentiles. Isn't that why they wanted to kill him back in Acts 22? What's he preaching? Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. But notice what he says. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none of the things in those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. What? About Jesus Christ. And the prophets did say that Jesus Christ was the Lamb led to the slaughter. The prophets did say that Jesus Christ was going to be put to death, a man of sorrows, and so forth. And Paul, before King Agrippa, is saying, listen, these Jews who believe the Old Testament writings are accusing me of the very thing that the Bible says, that the Old Testament says. How do we know that? Well, we know that because even though we might not. You see, the book of Acts is a book of the Acts of the Apostles. And so God didn't just leave us at the end of Acts to wonder what all went into. In other words, during the book of Acts, Paul wrote 6 of his epistles. 1 and 2 Thessalonians were the first two. Probably Galatians after that. Then the 2 letters to the Corinthians. And then the Roman letter, probably the last one during the book of Acts. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And I know you know the passages, but I want to look at some things he says in particular here that sometimes I think we just kind of skip over. The account of Paul at Corinth is Acts chapter 18. That's when Acts chapter 17. He's in Corinth in chapter 18. Now, when he writes this letter back to the Corinthian church, notice what he says. He would have to be referring to that which took place while he was at Corinth. Because look what he says. Moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. If he preached it unto them, folks, he had to preach it while he was there. He says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, Acts chapter 18 is an account of Paul's visit to the city of Corinth. And there it says he preached to the Jews the resurrection of the dead, and they kicked him out of the synagogue. Well, when he's writing 1 Corinthians, he's writing this to believers. And we know that the believers, we know what the believers believed. Because he tells us right here. So there is no doubt that Paul preached at Corinth the gospel of Christ. Not only that Jesus Christ was the Messiah proven by his death, burial, and resurrection, but proven by the fact that he says Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. You see, that's of utmost importance when you compare, when you go back and look at. In other words, if you just simply went to Acts chapter 18, you would get the impression that Paul, and you compare it with the other verses we've looked at, you would get the impression that all Paul preached was that Jesus was Christ. Because back in Acts 18 verse 5, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. But folks, they didn't believe it. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I'll go unto the Gentiles. Then what did he preach? Well, we find out what he preached by reading the letter that he wrote back to that church. And he says, I preached unto you this gospel. And that gospel is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the gospel that Paul preached in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 was preached during the book of Acts while he was there at Corinth. And therefore to say that Paul did not preach the gospel of Christ or the gospel of grace of God is absolutely wrong and misleading. You see, you can just hang out in the book of Acts and you can come up with all kind of ideas and doctrines that won't stand the test. Because Paul said, be ye followers of me. He said, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. And so we can read the book of Acts to get a historical view and a progression of all that was taking place during the book of Acts. But if you want to know what Paul preached during the book of Acts, you're going to have to get it out of his epistles. The entirety of it. And Paul preached the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace of God. As a matter of fact, look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, one of the first letters that Paul wrote during the Acts period. Verse 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul makes reference to our gospel. He said, I declare unto you the gospel. Paul never one time in his epistles refers to the gospel in the plural, gospels. It's always singular. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ, the one who was proven to be the Messiah by his death, burial, and resurrection, died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day. Now, quickly in closing. In Matthew 16, Jesus Christ told Peter, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That church we find being formed in the early part of Acts. Acts 1, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, Peter stands up, preaches to you men of Israel. There were thousands added to the church day by day there. That's the church that he was talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereupon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Folks, the foundation for both churches is the fact that Jesus Christ was proven by God to be the Messiah promised in the Old Testament by his death, burial, and resurrection. But Paul went beyond that truth and added to that which was revealed to him, and that is that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again, and he was raised again for our justification. And if you're not building upon that foundation, if you're simply building upon the fact that he is the risen Messiah, you're misleading people today, because people are not going to get saved by simply believing that Christ was the Messiah. They get saved when they believe that Christ died for our sins. He said, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Well, people can believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah all day long and die and go to hell if they've never trusted him and his shed blood as payment for their sins. You see, he died for our sins. We have now received the atonement. We're not under the law, we're under grace. And we have, by Jesus Christ, been baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit, and we're one in him. That's what Paul preached throughout his ministry. Say, well, you can't find it in the book of Acts. Well, then quit looking for it and go over to Romans through Philemon and you'll find it there. Because that's where it be. That's where it is. And don't let people get you all hung up on what Paul was doing during the book of Acts or said during the book of Acts, when you can just prove it by what he wrote during that very same period. You see, when he said, be ye followers of me, he said, even as I am of Christ Jesus. Paul never followed Christ in his footsteps during his earthly ministry. He followed the revelation given to him. And so you need to follow the revelation given to Paul, not that which he did during the book of Acts. Always amazes me. People say, well, you know, Paul baptized, why don't you? Well, those same people, I would say to them, Paul took a vow and shaved his head in the book of Acts, why don't you? Paul spoke in tongues in the book of Acts. Paul healed in the book of Acts. Paul cast out demons in the book of Acts. Paul raised the dead in the book of Acts. Now, I started into another message, but I better stop there. I thank you for your attention this morning, folks, and I hope that these things are, if you've had any questions about these things, maybe everybody here didn't, but there are people who have had questions about this, and I hope these verses will clear some of that up and cause you to understand and see that there's a lot of confusion when you go to the book of Acts and try to prove and show what people were preaching and teaching. And the answers to those are in rightly dividing the word of truth. And I hope that it's been a blessing to you. If you're not saved this morning, Jesus Christ died for your sins. You can trust in him and he'll save you. Let's stand for prayer. And as we do so,